Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we both welcome you back to another episode of The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at NewWorldNextWeek.com. And it's an episode that'll leave you asking the question, oh, won't some benevolent international body come and make order out of all this chaos? James, another week, another emotionally charged bandwagon where class warfare is the name of the game. So if you clicked like on Kony 2012, you're going to retweet this faster than you can say, can't we all just get along? In slain teenager's case, a long route to national attention. And this is from the New York Times, and we will provide much sources and many bits of documentation along with this, as we do with every episode of New World Next Week. But we take this from the New York Times in a way, I think, to kind of just give folks the thumbnail sketch of this story in case you maybe haven't been paying attention for the last month and a half. We take it from the New York Times. Trayvon Martin, an unarmed 17-year-old, was fatally shot on February 26th in Sanford, Florida. The next day, his death was a top story on the Fox-affiliated television station in Orlando, the closest big city to Sanford. Within a week, it was being covered by newspapers around the state, but it took several weeks before the rest of the country found out. It was not until mid-March, after word spread on Facebook and Twitter, that the shooting of Trayvon Martin by George Zimmerman, age 28, was widely reported by the national news media, highlighting the complex ways that news does and does not travel in the internet age. Now, that article goes on to kind of describe how the story grew. But we will provide other bits, James, that I see this as a frightening situation, and I don't make the comparison to the Kony story of a few weeks ago lightly, where you basically have a mass amount of people who are generally well-intentioned jumping on an emotional bandwagon in a story that they know very little about, which many folks know very little about unless they were actually on the ground and there and were eyewitnesses. But if you do the littlest amount of research, you'll start to see that the main things being echoed out in this corporate-controlled mediascape don't quite fit. And, of course, the photo, he's a 12-year-old, and all of those other things that, again, we'll provide the links for you. But what scares me about this is you see basically another sort of social engineering push and a mass movement of people getting emotionally involved in a story. And, of course, when you're making decisions based on emotions, much less, you know, informed, you know, choices, bad things happen, and I think it turns into mob mentality, and I worry that this, again, is being kind of used to instill some kind of class war, race war here in the States. But we'll add in the related bits, as this is a quickly breaking and developing story, as all three stories this week we will see. Congressman Bobby Rush today escorted off the House floor for wearing a hoodie in solidarity. Meanwhile, Martin Luther King's niece says folks like Sharpton and Jackson should stop playing the race card, and the former head of the NAACP essentially says the same thing, and you have the Soros-funded Media Matters battling it out with Drudge and Malkin about different photos and who said what, and James, it really is helter-skelter. So here in the States, this is what you can step outside and hear people talking about. It's in the mediascape, and it's all we're talking about. Hopefully, we're kind of shining a light on how the media does and doesn't kind of cover and amplify these kind of stories. But James, you are a Canadian in Japan and looking at America and thinking what?
Well, good question. Maybe I should guard my answer here. No, I think you hit the nail on the head quite well there, because obviously from my different perspective here, I'm looking at a story like this, and it's difficult to even imagine why this is getting as much traction as it is. I mean, I know it is the biggest story in America right now, and everyone's talking about it, and, you know, hoodies are becoming this big political distraction, and on all of this sideshow circus is going on, but I don't know. I mean, from my perspective, looking at the possibility of a new humanitarian bombing of Syria and Israel threatening to strike Iran and start World War III and North Korea shaping up to launch rockets over our heads here in Western Japan and all of this craziness going on all over the world. And I look at a story like this Trayvon Martin shooting, and I guarantee you in 3 months, no one will even remember this kid's name. No one will be talking about this. Hoodies won't be a big political distraction. So it just kind of amazes me to see the way they are able to constantly make these stories up out of just these tiny incidents that, of course, it's a tragedy for the people involved, but for the vast majority of people, I mean, how does it affect your life? And I guarantee you in a few months you won't even remember this story. It'll just be completely gone. And yet they can work people up into a frenzy over this type of stuff when real stuff that's really going to affect your life is shaping up all around the world. And again, it's as you indicate, it's part of getting that class struggle going and getting the tensions going and playing sides against each other in order to divide and not unite the people. And that's the way the system works.
Mm-hmm. And folks probably will be reminded in a couple of months about this story when the new movie from News Corporation comes out called Neighborhood Watch. But aside from that, James, yeah, it's all Etch-a-Sketch and hoodies and Dancing with the Stars here. Meanwhile, yeah, missiles are flying. People are not, like, it's a bad situation. And again, I worry about where people are kind of being led around by the nose. And ultimately, like I said, you got to ask the vampire in. You got to beg him for help. And that's going to be the order out of this seeming chaos. So we see our second story that again, adds another piece to this puzzle. Justices poised to strike down entire Obamacare law. Latest I can find from the Los Angeles Times. Again, this is a developing, breaking story, and we are shooting here. It's still Wednesday, March 28th in the States to me. The Supreme Court's conservative justices said Wednesday they are prepared to strike down President Obama's health care law entirely. Picking up where they left off the day before, the conservatives said they thought a decision striking down the law's controversial individual mandate to purchase health care insurance means the whole statute should fall with it. The article continues to break down where each justice stands, but I would point out they're all also members of various secret societies like Opus Dei and the Knights of Malta and more, so we can always wonder, you know, whose allegiance these unelected, you know, arbiters of justice, where their allegiance lies. But another interesting positive note to this flurry of new session work from the Supreme Court, James, High Court throws out human gene patents. But Obamacare, James?
Well, I mean, I'd like to congratulate the Supreme Court for making a good decision here, but I think it's the only decision that could possibly be made on both fronts, the Obamacare and human gene patenting. But again, I mean, you look at Obamacare, and on its face, I mean, it is completely unconstitutional. The idea that Congress can somehow mandate every single man, woman, and child in America to purchase a certain service just simply for the fact that they exist, they breathe the air in America. I mean, it's completely on its face, completely, totally unconstitutional. There's no basis for it. And as the arguments have been being made in the last few days, I mean, if they can force you to do that, what can't the government force you to do? And there, you know, can they force you to eat broccoli or whatever, which is almost said kind of as an absurd example, but you can see it as part of that slippery slope. So absolutely, I mean, there's no other decision to come to. But I think it's also important to I mean, in this case, the three branch government system actually works, and the judicial branch is striking down what the legislative would try to force down your throat. But it's important to know that even if all three branches of government fail, there are still things that are in there in the Constitution, in the 10th Amendment, that help the people to fight off the government that tries to oppress them. And there's a long, rich history of this going back to Thomas Jefferson. And I was just talking to Tom Woods on Corbett Report Radio about this just the other night, and we had a good discussion about nullification and what the states can and in some cases are doing to strike down laws that are blatantly unconstitutional on their face, like the NDAA. So there are other options, and basically the point is that when a law is passed, if it's unconstitutional, it's null and void, it has no force of law, and people have to understand that and keep that in mind and fight for the nullification of any such law that actually makes it through.
And this story, again, the whole fight and debate around this, again, I feel here in the state kind of splits people up and divides them along these phony political paradigms that, again, whether it's Trayvon Martin or Obamacare, we're being engineered to a point where I think we're all going to tear each other apart, and we're never going to go after the guys up there that are causing it and engineering all of this chaos, but we're being pushed in that way. James, our third story this week, again, adds another piece to the puzzle of this structure of class warfare by design, and we take it from naturalsociety.com. I thought it was going to be Barry Satoru's buddy Rombo Emanuel, but World Bank nominee Kim, tied to Gates and Soros. Obama has nominated Dartmouth University President Jim Yong Kim to head the United Nations World Bank. Most people think UN agencies benefit poor people, but this is, of course, far from the truth. They claim to fight poverty in developing nations by financing infrastructure projects, but it's really a tool to acquire those third world resources through conditions on loans that you can never pay back, and then you privatize those resources to your insider crony buddies in their multinational corporations and the multi-generational serial killers, and they actually create more poverty. The nomination of Jim Yong Kim indicates that the World Bank may shift away from focusing on infrastructure and will instead turn toward providing health care in third world countries. Jim Yong Kim's areas of interest include vaccines for tuberculosis as well as drugs for HIV and AIDS. Kim says that his highest point in his career was when George Soros donated to Kim's tuberculosis vaccine program, which was followed by a huge grant from Monsanto shareholders, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, for $44.7 million. Additionally, Kim is the co-founder of Partners in Health with Paul Farmer, who is famous for saying that healthcare is a right, meaning that healthcare as a right disables you from your own health freedom and to escape this medical industrial complex paradigm and choose your own methods of healing. But in addition, it also enables Big Daddy government to determine whether or not an individual may receive care, the right to live or die. Therefore, this essentially falls into the category of a eugenics-based plan. In conclusion, the objective of Kim heading the UN World Bank appears to be to promote ludicrous policies by expanding healthcare through dangerous drugs. Kim's support for the redistribution of wealth and socialized medicine may come with a tremendous price tags for developed nations like the United States. If the World Bank was truly a benevolent organization, the focus for the third world would be on support for outrageous concepts such as independent farming, clean water, and food. James, to break down this story furthermore and to see who is behind a lot of these issues that we've covered on this episode, Soros criminal conviction exposes human rights scam, and it's about basically the denying the appeal of George Soros, trying to get his insider trading conviction overturned in France, and they ain't going to do it because he's a financial criminal, and many other things, as you can learn for yourself in the Corbett Report episode, Meet George Soros. James, it's all a rich tapestry, isn't it?
It certainly is, but it's a very dark tapestry. And of course, the World Bank is just the evil tag team twin of the IMF. They're like, I don't know, Demolition or something, if you remember. I can't believe I remember that far back to 1980s World Wrestling Federation. But anyway, absolutely, they're just, they're certainly not in it for actually developing the world or helping, you know, give a hand up to these countries. It's, I think we all know that pretty well, but if you want more documentation on that, I would recommend a book like this, The Globalization of Poverty and the New World Order by Michelle Chossudovsky, an excellent book that breaks down that entire development infrastructure paradigm by which the IMF and World Bank were plunging third world countries into unattainable levels of debt that would just put them in debt servitude forever, basically, and just sign the country's infrastructure over to the IMF and World Bank. I think we know how that works, and now that they're entering this new paradigm, absolutely, the exact same way they used the infrastructure as a tool for getting in there and really prying out the wealth of those countries, they're now going to use healthcare as a tool for getting in and prying out the health of those countries. And I think as that article breaks down quite well, it's about the eugenics agenda, it's about depopulation, Soros and Gates and all these wonderful philanthropists donating all their wealth to help the poor brown people constantly talk about overpopulation and how we need to get the world's population down. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure out that these vaccines and everything they're pushing are not for the best interests of the people there. And once again, we just have to continue to work to expose what's really going on and expose the real alternatives to what people can do to build these countries up instead of plunging them into servitude forever.
James, briefly here in closing as we wrap this up, those are the kind of issues, in addition to the human gene patents and maybe even the taco copter, are things that we discuss on Food World Order on Corbett Report Radio, and I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Later tonight. See you then.
All right. Thank you.